Okay, it's Sunday, November 6th, 2016. It's about it's about 11 a.m. Let's take a look here. Yeah, 11 a.m. or so. And, I'm going to take a stab at why Trump? Why Donald Trump? The last time I tried to speak to this was in August. So I've had a good 2.5 months to consider the matter further, and I'm even more strongly supportive of Donald Trump. And this is coming from someone who used to be a progressive. I used to subscribe to The Nation magazine. I used the Progressive magazine. A whole bunch of progressive, you know, which is another word for communist, basically. That is just having government become larger and larger and control more and more of our lives. And if you research it, I'm not an expert in these matters, but, you know, socialism, this whole redistribution of wealth system, you know, that ultimately is, you know, I guess, communism. It only works if you've got an enlightened king at the center of it. And so people point to Libya with Muammar Gaddafi, who raised the standard of living. I think he had, I don't know, the highest literacy rate in the continent. Maybe free college, and I don't really know all this stuff. Healthcare was good. Education was good. All these bread and butter causes were doing very well, but we threw him under the bus. That was Hillary Clinton, for the most part, because we needed to have ISIS be there, take it over, and as a means to, you know, create further destabilization of the whole region. And Gaddafi himself said, he was basically holding back a whole bunch of refugees from other parts of Africa from trying to cross the Mediterranean into Europe. And so some of the immigrant crisis going on in Europe right now is due to the fall of Libya. But I think that this is, I'm going to be wandering a bit here, but there is sort of a holism that informs this. The head of national security for the national intelligence apparatus for Israel said that they do not want to weaken ISIS, because ISIS being this Muslim terrorist group, bringing back like 12th century values in terms of its views on women, on equality, on sexual freedom, or gender, non-discrimination of people who identify as homosexual, etc. That's all been put into reverse 1,000 years due to ISIS. But in this sort of geopolitical chessboard, which is being played out with mostly Western powers in control of it, they just don't want to have Assad in Syria do what he wants. He wants to have an alignment with Russia. He wants to have maybe an Iranian, pipeline or something coming across through his country. And so he's not giving preferential contracts to Western energy corporations and some other things like that. This guy's not a terrorist. I mean, he's just a nationalist, which is all that Saddam Hussein of Iraq and Muammar Gaddafi of Libya were in the end. My understanding is that Saddam Hussein was originally a CIA asset, a plant. We had him do the coup there in Iraq, But over time, he became nationalistic and wanted more of the resources of the area to go to his people. There was greater stability under his regime than anything, you know, since. And, you know, he's moderate and not an extremist in his religious views, which allowed greater freedom economically, socially for women. And but he got off because he was going to be accepting, as was Gaddafi, you know, it was a threat to the petrodollar. That is, all sales of oil in the world have to be transacted in U.S. fiat funny money, which is an overt tax on the rest of the planet, because we are not transparent in how much money we print. There have been stories of whole palletfuls of $100 bills going places without accounting to pay off warlords and stir up conflict here and there. You know, there would be a lot more inflation in this country if we were the only ones using dollars, and we had to pay for everything in something that we just can't print at will. But coming all around, Trump is not for a lot of this. You know, some of the arguments I've heard, you know, because I sent one major email out yesterday, my first one in a month, regarding Trump to my mail list. And then I did a response to my uncle, who's a staunch Hillary Clinton supporter. He's gay and reads nothing but the New York Times and the Washington Post, and views himself as a cosmopolitan, intellectual, which is his undoing. But he sent me something that I responded to, but I'll get to that in a moment. People say that Trump's a hypocrite, that he uses, say, Chinese materials in the construction of his hotels, or immigrant labor. And but with respect to these materials sourced outside the country, he admits, or the tax loopholes that he has taken advantage of legally. He says he's winning, playing the game as it is, and he has readily confessed that the system is rigged against Americans, that we have shipped our labor, our intellectual capital, our financial resources to developing countries where freedom does not exist as we know it here in the West. You know, in China, where I understand that nearly all of the Walmart factories are situated next to prisons. Though Walmart claims they don't use prison labor, but you can't get inside China to verify this. You know, it's a police state. There's no movement or freedom of association, you know, unless it's been approved by the Communist Party. One second, let me get a picture of this chemtrail. And, but to be competitive, I took a moment there. To be competitive, Trump has had to play by these rules where you will go out of business if you support U.S. labor and U.S. manufacturing. Because the government that is bought out by special interests, corporate interests, the contributions of other nations like China, which we're seeing more and more, they create the rules. And so Trump is, in the final analysis, a winner. whatever the environment is, he wants to win in it. And he's kind of, he's sick of where our country's going, and that's why he decided to run for president. He said he is going to do his damnedest to change a bunch of things. And he's not a hypocrite for winning, you know? In fact, he's got much greater courage and integrity than, you know, people like Hillary Clinton and many of her supporters, these billionaires who, claim to, you know, want to help the little guy. Meanwhile, you know, and like in Clinton's 30 years in public office, or in the public eye, has done nothing to stem the flow of jobs and technology and capital to, you know, out of the U.S., this hemorrhaging. So, you know, so I don't see any problem there, you know, that, and so that is a non-issue for me. Let's go to some other matters. I trust him. I do. And I've seen some analyses of, like Scott Adams, the Dilbert cartoon creator, created a series of articles on Trump and why he supports Trump, and it's been disastrous for Scott Adams' career. But he calls him a master persuader. And that means a lot to Adams. I guess he's a certified hypnotherapist or neurolinguistic programmer or something. And he knows how to manufacture sentiment or something, I believe. I don't like that. I think you should try to speak from the heart and not preoccupy yourself with controlling public outcomes, but it's probably a luxury that someone in the public eye doesn't have all the time. But apparently, you know, I've heard these quotes trotted out that, you know, Trump, you know, wants to deport, let's say, all illegal aliens. And he said a bunch of other stuff that was, some, you know, I guess to some people incendiary, but it's not. You know, that a lot of these people are rapists and, you know, drug dealers. And, yeah, we get a lot of trash coming up across the border. No doubt about it. But he is now, you know, he's galvanized and gotten his support from his base on that. And in that, since that time, he has, you know, what you call walked it back or modified or, you know, re-envisioned his message. But now it's, he wants to deport all illegal aliens who have committed crimes. I don't know if it's misdemeanors or if it's felonies and misdemeanors, but of course it'd be certainly felonies. But we have tens of thousands, well, I know we have 22,000 felons, illegal alien felons in federal prison at a cost of, I don't know how many millions of dollars a day. You know, why we're not deporting them, God knows. And there's a lot more that are on the lam and need to be rounded up. I mean, if you're here in America, creating problems, you should be sent back to the country you belong to. You're not ours. We can't afford trash like you here. And, you know, you're not racist. Trump is not a racist for saying that. You look at around the world, I mean, Japan, I believe, doesn't even allow you to become a citizen unless you're of Japanese descent. But we're not. I don't see the social justice warriors banging their pots and pans over that. Saudi Arabia, you know, they behead you and hang your carcass up by a crane if you're gay, or if you're a woman who has been accused of committing adultery, or I don't know, I think until recently, if you were a woman and you were driving a car, a whole bunch of other ridiculous things. But I don't see, you know, Hillary Clinton refusing hundreds of millions of dollars from the Saudi Arabian government, or again, the social justice warriors, or you know, all these lesbians on TV, like I guess Hannah Montana, or whatever her name is, Miley Cyrus, has now come out as lesbian, she's a former Disney star, now, I don't know, musician and cultural icon of some sort. But she is now guest hosting on, I forget her name, some lesbian ladies TV show. But, you know, these ladies are more upset about Trump than they are of Clinton's and the U.S. Washington establishment support of a country like Saudi Arabia or China. You know, try being, a flaming lesbian in China. I don't think you'll last that long. Yet, so there's just a lot of hypocrisy in terms of who people are getting upset at. And a lot of it's just manufactured, and it becomes ultimately like George Orwell's vision in 1984, where, you know, every day for 15 minutes, the government would tell you who to hate. Okay, people, here's your 15 minutes of hate. You know, it's like pointing a dog in the direction of, you know, whoever you don't like and say, sick 'em. I mean, you know, people are no better than dogs in that regard. In fact, worse than dogs, because they should know better. So Trump is not a racist for wanting to deport criminal illegal aliens, you know, with histories of breaking the law, apart from, you know, just being here without permission. The rape stuff. I'm gonna start getting weak pretty soon, but there's a long history. You have to read up on more alternative websites, because you're not gonna get this in most mainstream newspapers. But there's like 40 or so key, you know, pretty important people in the Clintons' past who have died mysteriously. And you know, the Clintons are known to kill their enemies. And, you know, Trump has not. You know, Trump is not that way. But more along those lines of just gross transgressions, you have Bill Clinton, who it is known to have gone on Jeffrey Epstein's, you know, private jet to his, what they call, pedophile island, somewhere off the, I don't know, the Bahamas or the East Coast, or I don't know where the hell it is, but some island where it's a confab for elites to have access to underage children sexually. And a number of times Bill has left his Secret Service detail behind. And there has been a number of lawsuits that Jeffrey Epstein has settled with gag orders after that, you know, for $1 million or whatever, for families, mothers, whatever, of these girls. I read somewhere that, you know, it was 12 years old and up. You know, that's wrong. I don't know if it went younger than that. I know that there's a whole pipeline of kids going to Saudi Arabia who prefer younger than that, you know, absolutely prepubescent, doing snuff films. And I've heard the Mexican cartels do that. I've heard that the Israeli Mossad was hoping to funnel kids out of Haiti after their recent earthquake, under, you know, with almost like UN protection, just kidnapping. For whatever, you know, organ harvesting, slave, you know, sex trafficking, you name it. This shit goes on, and you know what? Most people don't have the stomach to look at it or to consider it. It's too incendiary. You can say, well, why are all these people doing this? You know, are they all sick? Well, a lot of them are. A lot of them get off on having, I mean, actually the Illuminati believe that, you know, rules are for the weak. And rules do not apply, you know, it's like the divine right of kings. If the king does it, then it's the law. And they believe that, you know, might makes right. The victors write history. But there's also a side, there are people who are more moral, but they get caught up in this because they want power. All this shit is filmed, or a lot of it is filmed, and it's used as blackmail. And so, you know what? You want to become president? You want to become governor of your state? Well, come down to our little gathering and do a few things that we catch on tape, and you know what? All the newspapers will endorse you. You'll have just glowing coverage from the major television outlets, and you're the super PACs and the other people, you know, organizations paying for ads will just be, you know, in support of you, will be, you know, have all the money they need. And that's how it is. There are some people with integrity that make it, but not much. There's definitely a, you know, if you read up on Huey Long, and I think he was in Texas, maybe it was Mississippi, but it was in the 30s. He was an up-and-coming dynamo of a politician who really wanted power to the people, and he was killed. Similarly, JFK. My understanding is that his father was a Nazi sympathizer and an alcohol-running, you know, crook. You know, they got their money through basically illegal dealings. And that he had a real, you know, JFK had a real penchant for sex with many women. And that the people, you know, on top thought that, you know what? We can, you know, he has an independent streak, but we can control him because of his vices. And they found that, you know what? He was willing to put his life on the line. And he got killed trying to do the right thing. So you do get killed. That's usually the people who want to stop war, who want to really help people, not just give them government assistance, but actually change the tables, change the circumstances in our society so that people can have greater self-respect and self-reliance. But that's not what the communists, the progressives want. They want everyone to be obedient to the state. And what's distinguished, because I get hit with this at school, because I don't advocate for Trump there, although, you know, once in a while, some people have asked me who do I support, and I'll just mention it. And it's just like beyond the pale, because these people are so under mind control with, again, I don't think there's a major top 100 newspaper in the country endorsing Trump. Well, then you look at the media consolidation. Well, that's because, you know, what is it now? There's three conglomerates, or maybe it's six conglomerates, own like 95% of the media. I mean, it's insane. And so, yes, the message, they are on message. And with the appearance of diversity, but it's like, you know, a McDonald's in every city. You know, it's the same bullshit food, and it stays the same regardless of the ethnic or linguistic makeup or religious makeup of the people in town. Here, pretty wide expanse, just keeping an eye out for mountain lions. But I haven't seen any tracks of deer or mountain lion. It is deer hunting season, and there were a couple of trucks, three trucks parked near the entrance to this area. So I think those are for sure hunters. Good luck. I have not seen much wildlife. And for like decades now, Bill Clinton has been dodging rape allegations, settling court cases for nearly $1 million, and Donald Trump, I think, got the second, or maybe it was the third. I think it was the second of the third debate with Hillary Clinton, had four of Bill Clinton's rape victims there. And there are stories. I mean, actually, Hillary is on tape, audio tape. It's been verified, talking about Bill cutting out the blood, the bloodied portion of his underwear, I guess after one of his flings. And Bill, according to these the testimonies of these women, it's not just extramarital affairs. It's his, hanging out with underage, with Jeffrey Epstein, and it's these testimonies of women that Bill Clinton and gets off on forcing himself on others. And that there are people who do that. You know? It's the aggravated assault of the sexual act that is so appealing. And with respect to Donald Trump, many people have come forward to say, you know what? This guy is very straight-laced. You know, his biggest vices are he likes ice creams and a lot of ice cream and T-bone steaks. And yes, he's been married 3 times. Well, I say, so the fuck what? That's his choice. He's a fucking billionaire, and none of the past wives have any issues with him. They're all set up well. He has great kids. Even Hillary Clinton said as much. They're very successful. They have a great relationship with Dad. They're helping with Dad's campaign for president. And for decades, he has had zero accusations of misconduct from women. No out-of-court settlements, none of that. And then all of a fucking sudden, in the last couple of months, as the Clinton campaign has gotten desperate, like several women have come forward out of the blue. No one's ever even heard of these people. And I just saw, like a few days ago, that this first case, this lady was going to give some interview or something. She's dropped it. She's out. And Clinton and Trump is suing everybody. I mean, he says, no way. Now he talks a big talk. He's got a big mouth. And I actually think it's great. He says a lot of things that are politically incorrect. And with respect to this video or this audio tape that surfaced, Alex Jones, I heard his take on it, and some other people have looked at it, and it seems like Trump has, the audio has been spliced together. It's like different parts of the conversation with this Billy Bush guy, and you can just hear from the background sound of the bus, or whatever they're in, I think it's a bus, that it's different portions of the dialogue or the interview that was live, not live, but he knew he had a mic on him, but they were spliced together to create this statement about how he just likes to grab pussy, without permission. And I have a feeling that he was either set up with this in terms of the misleading editing and splicing together of this tape, or he talks a big talk, and this was, I thought he maybe had a certain level of trust with this guy who's a Bush family, you know, part of the Bush family, this Billy Bush guy, who I guess is a some kind of a, you know, he works in the media, and this is like 10 years ago. But it's just talk about how, you know, women just will do anything for a rich guy. And I, you know, there's, I think, there's a certain certain in-your-face truth about that. You know, a lot of people sell out. They'll do anything for money. Women, too. And Trump has been the beneficiary, and I'm glad he's not ashamed of it. You know, and it's just, people will be people. It's not easy to make, you know, to make your way in this world. And Donald Trump is a success story. But in any event, I view this as mostly, you know, private behavior. And it's, you know, possibly male bravado. And, you know, maliciously edited together. And no evidence that this has ever happened until recently, and then that's evaporated. It was just smoke. And it's not aggravated rape, and it's not 26 visits to the private island of pedophile Jeffrey Epstein. There's like a boatload of other things to say here, but I'm starting to get kind of worn out. Also, he doesn't want war. You know, he wants a strong military, but he wants to get along with our adversaries. You know, and Russia is basically, you know, there's like a million things to say. I think I'll say one more. NATO promise in the birth, or in the founding of NATO, I think it's called the National Atlantic Trade Treaty, or whatever it is, this group of countries that have this policy of, you know, if you're invaded, then we'll come to your defense. But there was a promise in there that NATO would not expand into Russia or Russia's sphere of influence. It was like a detente. But what NATO has done has expanded and brought first strike nuclear capabilities to Russia's doorstep, which is highly belligerent, illegal under the terms of the treaty. And yet our media is claiming that, and we spent, our Department of State spent over $5 billion. This is all legit. I mean, it happened on the overthrow of a pro-Russian Ukrainian government to install a bunch of neo-Nazis that were going to just allow the energy resources of the Ukraine to be sold off to Western interests and allow, you know, Ukraine to be used as sort of a puppet instrument against Russia. Mean in our vice president's son, I think it's Joe Biden. What is Joe Biden? Joe Biden's, I think, the president, is the vice president. His son is, I forget his name, but is Biden. He was put on the board of directors of the largest natural gas company in Ukraine immediately after the U.S. coup in Ukraine. And their gold was taken out. As soon as the coup happened, the gold on reserve there in their national bank went missing. All sorts of shit. You know, Libya's gold went missing. You know, whisked away to Western banking powers. Iraq's gold and all of Iraq's antiquities. The very day after, you know, I guess the invasion of Baghdad or whatever the hell was going on. I mean, all the museums, all of the antiquities depots with ancient Mesopotamian art. Basically, the cultural heritage of the whole Middle East all went missing. And that was obviously, it had to be Western intelligence, Israeli intelligence in there, you know, serving various, you know, private and corporate interests. And they, the shit's gone. You take away a people's memory and they don't know who they are anymore. You can shape them, I suppose, in any image that you want. But that's truly criminal. Saddam Hussein had great pride in Mesopotamia, you know, in the Euphrates and all that history. And they had quite a lot of antiquities that he had well staffed with people who cataloged and took care of, and all that got totally fucked over within a day. It was a total professional op above the military with, you know, it just precision. It just happened. So, you know, what's his name? Trump doesn't want to go to war over Iran, you know. Let Russia have its energy relationship, you know, with Iran and Syria. You know, that is not a, what's the word for it, mortal enemy of the U.S. It's just, you're serving your national interests. And, it's not right for us to own and control everything. Just not is. Not as right. It is not right. Is there anything else I want to say? Yeah, this wall of the media, all the media, TV, news, the humor I hear on NPR, even fucking comedy that's shown is poking fun at Trump. Everything is against Trump. And all of NPR's coverage is slanted against Trump. And you have to just listen to it with some discernment to see where the biases are. And they are prolific. They are consistent. They are ubiquitous. And when you see that type of mind control, that type of corporate, it's fascism. It's controlling our thoughts. It's controlling our access to real information. And Obama has said recently, I think in a speech a week ago at some university, that there needs to be some sort of a government entity that vets all the information on the internet. You know, that it can give it a seal of approval if it... I mean, we've already seen how compromised Wikipedia can be. You know, maybe it's a good source of information on a non-controversial topic, you know, like, you know, the mating behavior of the blue heron bird, but when it comes to, you know, anything that threatens the state monopoly on power and information, oh yeah, you're gonna see all sorts of devilish involvement there. And I don't need to have the government controlling what information I have access to. And apparently they're trying to move America in the direction of China in terms of internet access and control of information. There's now, I guess, ratings. You're being rated in China. You know, you get a score, like a credit score on your posts, on your social media, you know, what you chat about, what you talk about, and on the you get held to account in terms of your score based on the behavior of the people in your social network. And so, you know, if I'm a true believer in everything that Obama says, and though he's just a puppet, but he's an instrument of evil in many ways, if I'm associated with someone who questions that, my score goes down. So I might have gotten an 800, but maybe it goes to like 690 because one of my best friends is what they call a conspiracy theorist, which is a pejorative, but it means someone who questions official reality. Karl Rove, the brain behind George W. Bush, said to a room full of reporters once, "We are history's actors. We create reality. And Goebbels said, you know, you tell a lie enough times and people take it to be true. And if you tell a big enough lie, everyone will accept it as self-evident because it's just too grotesque, too disruptive to your normalcy bias to believe that the government might lie about something so great. And that's exactly what's going on with the aerosol engine spraying. It's all over the country. It's all over the fucking planet. They keep on buying more and more tanker jets. These are jets that are made to refuel another jet in midair, but they're all then retrofitted or outfitted to be spraying this shit. And there's more and more of it. But it's such a big fucking lie. Those are natural contrails. Well, no, they fucking are not. They weren't there when I was a kid, despite the HD revisions of old movies. Then they insert this shit into them, so it erases our memory. But anyone who's got pictures from the past that are unedited, you'll see very obviously that the skies did not have these kinds of clouds, or this type, what do you call it? This type of air pollution. It's not even a cloud, it's air pollution. So it's a vote. So my, it's just the fact that everyone is against him. In the Republican establishment, they call them rhinos, Republicans in name only. They're not conservatives. They are just as fascistic, just as globalist. Globalist means getting rid of your borders, getting rid of sovereignty, just having corporations run the show. If you're trying to support tuna harvesting practices that cost more, because they're trying to exclude dolphins and turtles from the nets, and it costs a can of tuna 50 cents more a can, well, you can, through the World Trade Organization, corporations that don't want to practice in that manner can sue the jurisdictions that is seeking to limit what types of tuna production that they support via the tuna that's imported into their country. That country can be sued for damages, for loss of profits on the part of the company that is engaging in this practice that is killing dolphins and turtles, for example. That's just one of many. It's the idea that corporations are on a higher level than sovereign entities, and that is absolutely wrong. And I'm not into a monocropping. Do you want the whole planet listening to Miley Cyrus and Madonna and the Rolling Stones, REO Speedwagon, Drake? Yeah, they're hunting. I just don't think so. We need to have people's cultures be, and when I say cultures, I mean their food practices, their dietary practices, their agricultural practices, their musical traditions. All of that stuff should not be homogenated. Because when things become homogenated forcibly, then you have basically the dominant culture or corporate entity forcing itself upon everything else. And there has to be some firewall or some division in there. You know, languages are dying. You know, heirloom species of food crops are dying. You know, the hundreds of species of cattle, types of cattle there were, you know, that existed, let's say 100 years ago. You know, now we're just down to a few that get fat, you know, develop more meat on them more quickly. But these are cattle, and same goes for certain types of, let's say, corn or green beans. You know, they're not hardy. They're more susceptible to diseases, or there might be some things that, you know, some types of cow or some types of green beans are, you know, some are more drought resistant, some are resistant to certain pathogens. And you want all that in the mix. You don't want to just focus on one thing. And when you do that culturally, or in terms of ideas, information, if there's a homogenization of information or homogenization of movies, you know, then our self-identities, our dreams, our who we are, our spirits, I think become impoverished. And I think our ability as a global species to thrive under various conditions is undermined. You know, I don't want to, you know, if I travel to Bali or to Tasmania someday, you know, I don't want to see, you know, a country that eats, acts, creates, behaves the same way that people in Los Angeles of California eat, act, create, behave. You know, I want to see differences, because those differences could be vital to our survival. You know, this whole sex appeal of, you know, wanting to bond with that which is different. You know, I want people that are different than me. You know, I think it creates for a healthier climate. Otherwise we become, in my opinion, sterile. So that's it. I'm coming up on these gun guys. I'm going to shut this off. But vote Trump, por favor.